4. 2002 Red Cloud Road, Fort Rucker, Alabama. 0755 hours, 6 February 1992. Captain Tom Prentice walked to the kitchen door of Quarters 2 and lightly tapped one of the panes with his ring. Brigadier General Harry Wilson, who was sitting at the kitchen table in his bathrobe, gestured for him to come in. He entered.
"Did you have to knock so loudly?" General Wilson inquired.
Prentice exchanged smiles with Mrs. Bethany Wilson, who stood at the stove.
"Good morning, ma'am."
"Good morning, Tom," she replied, her tone teeming with an exaggerated cheeriness.
General Wilson glared at her over his coffee mug. Miss Beth Wilson, who was sitting across the table from her father, rolled her eyes.
"The general is not his chipper self this morning," Prentice said to him. "We are not going to have our morning trot up and down Red Cloud." "For one thing, it's Saturday. For another, in my condition, I could not trot down the drive to Red Cloud, much less up and down Red Cloud itself."
"Well, Harry," Mrs. Wilson said, turning from the stove, "you know what they say about the wages of sin."
She looked at Prentice.
"Your timing is perfect. You want fried or scrambled?"
"I was hoping you'd make the offer," Prentice said. "Scrambled, please."
"You know where the coffee is," she said.
"Bring the pot, please, Tom," General Wilson said. "Unless you have an oxygen flask in your pocket."
"I can have one here in 5 minutes, sir," Prentice said.
He took the decanter from the coffee machine and carried it to the table. "And how are you this morning, Miss Beth?" Prentice said. Beth Wilson flashed him an icy look, but didn't reply.
"Does oxygen really work, Tom?"
Mrs. Wilson asked.
"Yes, ma'am, it does."
"You heard that, or you know from personal experience?"
"I respectfully claim my privilege against self-incrimination under the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution," Prentice said.
"Seriously, Tom," General Wilson said, "how much trouble would it be to get your hands on an oxygen flask before we go to meet the Castillos?"
"You want it right now, sir?"
"You heard what she said about the wages of sin. I'm about to die."
"Let me make a call," Prentice said, and started to get up.
"Eat your breakfast first," Mrs. Wilson said. "Let him suffer a little."
"Oh, God, is there no pity in the world for a suffering man?"
His wife and his aide-de-camp chuckled. His daughters said,
"You all make me sick."
"I beg your pardon,"
General Wilson said.
"You're all acting as if it's all very funny."
"There are elements of humor mingled with the gloom," General Wilson said.
"Randy said he did it on purpose," Beth said.
"Randy did what on purpose?" her mother asked.
"Castillo did it on purpose. Castillo got Daddy drunk on purpose, hoping he would make an ass of himself."
"Well, Daddy did in fact make sort of an ass of himself. But Charlie Castillo wasn't responsible. Daddy was."
"Actually, I thought you careening down the drive on my bike was hilarious," his wife said.
General Wilson raised his eyebrows at that, then said,
"It's not the sort of behavior general officers should display before a group of young officers, and I'm well aware of that. But the sky is not falling, and I am being punished, as your mother points out, for my sins."
"Randy says he was always doing that, trying to humiliate his betters."
"You knew him at the point, Tom. Was he?"
"Well, he was one of the prime suspects, the other being Dick Miller in the case of who put miracle glue on the regimental commander's saber."
"Really?"
Mrs. Wilson asked, as she laid a plate of scrambled eggs before him. Prentice nodded.
"He couldn't get it out of the scabbard on the Friday retreat parade. Talk about humiliation."
"And then he lied about it," Beth said. "Randy told me all about that."
"What they did was claim their right against self-incrimination, Beth," Prentice said. "That's not the same thing as lying."
"Randy said he lied," she insisted.
"I was there. Randy wasn't. I was the tactical officer supervising the court of honor. The court knew they did it, but they couldn't prove it. Nobody actually saw them."
"So they let him, them, go," Beth said.
"They had no choice," Nobody saw them do it.
Was that the real reason?
She challenged.
It wasn't because his father won that medal?
You get that from Randy, too? General Wilson asked, softly.
Randy said that the only reason they weren't thrown out of West Point was because Castile's father had that medal. That the only reason he was in West Point to begin with was because his father had that medal.
Sons of Medal of Honor recipients are granted entrance to West Point. Staying in the Corps of Cadets is not covered.
And he said that no one had the courage to expel the son of a black general, no matter what he'd done.
And what does Randy have to say about Lieutenant Castillo's distinguished flying cross? General Wilson asked softly.
He said it's impossible to believe that someone could graduate in 90 and be through flight school and flying an Apache in the Desert War when Castillo says he was, unless a lot of strings were pulled.
I am in no condition to debate this with you now, Beth. But just as soon as the Castillos leave, you, Randy, and I are going to have to talk. While the Castillos are here, I don't think it would be a good idea if you were around them.
You're throwing me out?
Beth said, somewhat indignantly. I'm suggesting that you spend the day, and tonight, with a friend. Patricia, maybe?
I've got a date with Randy tonight. Where am I supposed to get dressed?
Doesn't Patricia have a bedroom? Take what clothing you need with you. I don't want you around here when the Castillos are here.
Yes, sir,
she snapped, and jumped up from the table. Tom, would you take her to the Grammiers?
Yes, sir, Prentice said, then added a little hesitantly. General, I was sort of hoping I could get Beth to help me at the VIP house, make sure everything's right. And I know Mrs. Wilson is...
Get her to help you at the VIP house, then take her to the Grammiers, Mrs. Wilson ordered. I'm perfectly capable of driving myself, Beth said.
We're probably going to need both cars. End of discussion.